The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action in Ireland. It's a Friday, so it can only mean one thing. We have evening action on the Polytrack in Dundalk. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action is William Hill Radio's Irish racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Morning, Mark. Yeah, I'm good, mate.
Good man. What do you make of Dundalk this evening?
Yeah, it looks pretty competitive as ever. I've got to be honest, I don't fancy as many as I probably did last week.
Okay.
There are a couple of bets on the card, but I'm just going to plot my way through a couple of those. I mean, it's a long, long winter, isn't it, at Dundalk? We don't have to have, like, eight bets all at once and, you know, it's the end of the world. It's a total disaster if we have a quite a lean-looking card. Obviously, I've come up with selections, but, yeah, some of the races, I can't really work them out. I can't get my head around them, so I'll just treat them with at arm's length for this evening.
Okay, well, you did all right last week, so hopefully we'll have more of the same this week. The first race is the 5:40, and we start here with an Irish Stallion Farms European Breeders Fund race, which is for two-year-olds that are EBF eligible and that have not won more than one race. It's over 5 furlongs, and General Marshall is the 5-4 market leader. It's 15-8 for Blackbriar. Ariana is 100-30. It's then 16-1. Or bigger prices for the rest. So the market very lopsided here, Andy. Do you see it between the three and single figure odds here?
Yeah, I'm not a massive fan of Ariana, so I'm going to overlook her and just concentrate on the other two. It's a fairly straightforward race to work out, really. Blackbriar will be ridden positively in the hands of Wayne Lorden. She'll go off in front and hopefully set a target for General Marshall to shoot at. Blackbriar for me doesn't get 6 furlongs. She certainly hasn't in the last two runs at Curra in that Group 3 behind Capello Sansevero, and then they tried her in that Group 3 race at Ayr, the Ayr Gold Cup meeting, and she led down to the furlong pole again. Although she won over 6 furlongs the time before York at Cork and General Marshall was in behind, it was a classic case of getting up towards that standside rail and dominating, really. So I'd certainly give General Marshall a good chance of turning the form over here. He's been a bit frustrating, if I'm being perfectly honest. He just keeps bumping into one. I think he's just been a bit unlucky, rather than there's any sort of convictions about the horse. Sometimes you look at a horse that keeps finishing second and third, and you know they do get a little bit of a reputation as being a bit of a dodge. But I actually didn't think he did a great deal wrong the other day in Fairy House. He was drawn badly, and although he was a four-on favourite, from where he was, to be honest, he was always likely to get beat, to be fair, and the winner, first time up for Gerlines, just got first run on him, and albeit this horse closed him down late on, it was just a little bit too much too late. But he ran well the time before behind Lola Bow here at Dundalk, and I think the key to him could be dropping back to 5 furlongs. As I said, he's bound to get something to aim at tonight. He's got Blackbriar that'll go off in front, and I think Jojo O'Brien will just try and track that filly and do her in the last furlong. So that's the way I see the race panning out, and I'm going to give General Marshall one last go.
Okay, sticking with General Marshall then in the 5:40. The 6:10 is the second race this evening, and this is a maiden over 7 furlongs, and Adest Fidelis heads the betting at 5-2. 7-2 for Manzuri. Kamikaze is 6-1, as is Celestial Fable. Elusive Lawrence is also sixes. It's 7-1 for Fantastic Dilly. Tarluff is tens, and 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. Starting with the market leader here, Andy, Adest Fidelis. She made her debut in listed company and looked like she had a bit of promise as a two-year-old. She's running Group 3 company, not done too bad either, but then beating favourite in maidens and so on and so forth since. She's a hard one to work out. What do you make of the favourite here?
No, you're right. Yeah, I think, as you've just summarised, I think, to be fair, even though now Brian is struggling to work her out, she's yo-yoed in between distances. They start her off over 7, then a mile quarter, mile and a half. Every single project that Aidan's thrown at her, she hasn't really answered the test paper put in front of her. She didn't stay last time out in that race won by Break My Mind. That wasn't a great surprise anyway. She was a poor favourite in the morning. And I just think she's been put in favourite again because she's trained by Aidan O'Brien and she is always prominent in the market. But I don't think her actual profile suggests that she's one to be leaping on, particularly dropping back down to 7 furlongs. So I'm going to concentrate on a couple here. Celestial Fable would have been one of them, but she's got a desperate draw in stall 13, so I'm also going to overlook her. I think this race could be fought out between Manzuri and Kamikaze here. Manzuri would be my obvious each-way stroke place-only recommendation. I'd have my absolute house on that finish in the first three. You know, even if it was 8 to 11, 4 to 6 for a place on the pro market, I think that's worth really getting stuck into because he's just likely to run his race. You can see by his form figures. He's hardly ever out the frame. He goes really well here at Dundalk. He was third behind Refused to Listen here on the 17th of August. And he ran really well last time out in Galway in a viciously competitive handicap when he carried top weight. He had the blinkers on and he didn't get the best to run through that day, but he finished very strongly behind So Sensible to finish runner-up and only beating two lengths. But his speed figures have been really good. He's actually top of my numbers by a long, long way. And it's just a matter of him basically just running his normal race and he'll definitely be in the first three. And the other one to mention, as I said, is Kamikaze. Now, he was a bit of disappointment the last time we saw him. That was in Galway when Connections or Mickey Halford said that this horse didn't handle the track. Now, that's probably not a bad assumption because watching his action and the way he strides out, particularly he's only started here at Dundalk, he's got a nice flowing long stride and, you know, that track down going downhill and Updale wouldn't have suited him at Galway. That third behind Big Bad Lily at Curra was in a fast time. And, of course, the winner and the second have gone on to boost that form many times over throughout the summer period. So my strategy here would be quite simple. You either back Manzuri each way or place only, or perhaps you perm the two together, Manzuri and Kamikaze, back and both win only 7-2, 6-1, and hopefully you'll come out on the right side.
Okay, a couple against field there then in the 6-10. Moving on to the 6-40 next race, three on the card, and this is a nursery handicap over 7 furlongs, so we have two-year-olds in action here. And Liffey View heads the betting this morning at 5-1. It's 11-2 for Lady Mandeville, not really his sixes. Perfect Fit is 7-1. It's 10-1 for Just a Penny and Cleano and Whip Up a Frenzy and Green Artist, and then 12-1 or bigger prices for the others. As the market suggests, Andy, it's quite an open race. 5-1 the field this morning. What are your thoughts on the 6-40?
Yeah, this is one of the sort of two or three races here tonight, Dundalk, which I haven't got a particularly strong view on. These two-year-old nurseries are difficult anyway at the best of times, but even more so when most of these are coming to Dundalk for the first time and quite a few are just having their first running handicap, so they're quite difficult to assess as well. You don't know whether the handbrake's been on or whether they've just been mucked around with and tonight's the night. So I suggest we treat this race with an utmost amount of caution. My selection would be Lady Mandeville. For a start off, she's got a good draw. And her last two or three runs, she's proved herself to be very consistent. She won in Down Royal two starts back when she showed good battling qualities in the latter stages. It looked like Liffey View was going to go over the top of her. But Adrian McGuinness's two-year-old really dug deep late on to pull out all the stops and to win in the end by half a length. She was then strongly fancied the next time in Fairy House in a very competitive nursery. It was won by Colleen Moore, who's tipped on the podcast, did well to overcome a bad draw. And to be fair, Lady Mandeville tried as hard as she probably could all the way down the lane. And although she had to give third best in the end, it still wasn't a bad return. The figures suggest that she's almost certain to run a race. She's got a good low draw, as I said. The only thing she hasn't gone on is the track, but hopefully she'll handle the track. Just a couple to mention at prices. Both of them, as I mentioned in the preamble to the race, they've had just the three runs in maidens and they are difficult to get a handle on. But Amarikos and Rest Assured from Powerful Stables would be definitely worth a look. Particularly Rest Assured, who was given a bit of a kamikaze ride here last time out from a wide draw by Chrissy Haynes. She's got a much better draw tonight. And I think if she's ridden a bit more with a bit more restraint, she could run well. And Amakiros comes out of that Portage maiden, which is working out well, so, and has got like an American pedigree. So just keep an eye on those two in the market. But Lady Mandeville, as it stands, is the each-way bet.
Lady Mandeville each way in the 6:40 then. Moving on to the 7:10 next, the big race of the evening, and this is the Irish Stallion Farms EBF Star Appeal Stakes, which is a listed race over 7 furlongs, and Bertie LaBelge heads the betting at 11-8 and has been supported from 13-8 this morning. Smuggler's Cove is 15-8, Fields of May is 13-2, it's then 10-1 or bigger prices for the others. You can see why Bertie LaBelge heads the betting, and the won his first two starts, then finished a decent fourth in a mile group three, which was won by John F. Kennedy. So that looks the standout piece of form here. Do you side with the market leader?
Just about, yeah. This is another race I'm not mad keen on. I'd rather just prefer to watch this and enjoy it and perhaps learn a little bit for the future. Bertie LaBelge is a horse I haven't really massively warmed to as of yet, but that doesn't mean the side I don't fancy him here tonight, because he's top of my figures. He was a bit of a lucky winner, in all honesty, two starts ago at Leopardstown. That was in the middle of summer. It was the race at Oratorio had got in his pocket until stumbling and jumping into the rail with about 50 yards to run. And I thought Gerlange's charge, like I say, was a fortunate scorer on that occasion. Off the track then for 2 months, came back here in that John Deere Group 3 race last time out, won by John F. Kennedy, of course, who's a Derby horse next year. And it kept on quite well late on, just for pressure, in, you know, nudge to the line, and went through the line quite well in fourth. But just wasn't the class, really, the front runners that day. And, you know, that's probably about as good as he is, to be honest. His speed figures are good. He ran to an 83 on my figures last time out, which is perfectly respectable. He actually puts him top on my numbers. So he's by a side that does really well here as well, Big Bad Bob. Jessica Harrington has had quite a few horses by this side that have run well here at Dundalk. So he's going to be the selection. I think Smuddler's Cove is likely to improve as his career moves forward. He hasn't actually done any strong times yet, which slightly puts me off him, but he was a very much more switched on and polished last time out in Listowel than he was first time out at Roscommon. And the other three, albeit they're okay, they don't really set my pulses racing either. So, like I say, it's a bit of a... I'm a bit lukewarm on this race, but Bertie LaBelge would be the selection.
OK. Bertie LaBelge, then the selection in the 7:10. Moving on to the 7:40 next, and this is an Irish Stallion Farms EBF Fillies race for three-year-olds, which are EBF eligible and that have not won a group race since January the 1st, 2014. And Mountry heads the betting at 13-8. It's 2-1 for Crystal Fashion, 11-4 for Seacoast, Slipper Orchid is 7-1, and Kaliso Bay is the 33-1 outsider of the field. An interesting race this, Andy. You've got Mountry, who loves it at Dundalk, four times a winner at the course. Crystal Fashion, who arrives here from the Jer Lions Yard, who've won the last few renewals of this race. Mickey Halford's got a strong hand with Seacoast and Slipper Orchid, and I suppose the only one you can really rule out with any confidence is Kaliso Bay. So what are your thoughts in the 7:40?
Yeah, you're pretty much seeing it the way I am, to be honest, Mark. Yeah, Kaliso Bay is definitely a knockout, but the other four have all got chances of sorts, and that's the problem. There's always a slight negative hanging over one or two of these, and when you're looking for a bet, that's not necessarily an ideal situation. So I'm just going to go with what I know here, and Mowentry is a horse that many podcasters will know. She's formed a bit of a fan club. She's almost like the new Denny Crane, if you like. She started from humble beginnings, off a mark of 59, amazingly. And now she's worked all the way up through the ranks to be almost like a Group 3 horse, genuinely, with a rating of 98. It just depends whether Matty Tynan has got this mare fit and ready to do self-justice, first time off the shelf. Her figures are brilliant. I've got the last three runs, 83, 83, 84. Basically, she just runs metronomically exactly the same through the winter period. She runs virtually identical sectional time. She comes home well off the corner. She gallops all the way out to the line. She usually makes the run in. She's just really easy to read, and if Wayne Lorden clicks with her, because it's the first time he's ridden her, then she's obviously going to take a bit of beating here, because I do think she's got the upside to beat this lot. Crystal Fashion is a difficult one to assess, as you pointed out. Been running over a mile and a quarter, mile and a half. They tried to make into sort of like a pattern filly, and things haven't quite worked out. And she's back on the all-weather after a long period. Slipper Orchid has got the first-time pieces on, and being a Shane Foley who rides... Slipper Orchid on many occasions deserted her in favour of the 88 rated Seacoast. I mean, Seacoast can't really win at the weights, but the fact that he's on her suggests that even Shane Foley's not really sure what he's on here. So, like I say, it's almost a process elimination, knocking one out one by one, and ultimately I've ended up going for Mowentry, hoping that she's fit after that break.
Okay. Mountshire then the selection of the 7.40. On to the sixth race next, which is the 8-10, and this is a handicap over a mile. And Havelock Ellis heads the betting this morning and has been backed from 4-1 into 5-2. There's also been money for Bold Henmy, who's 9-2 into 7-2. Marble Statuette going the other way out to 11-2. 6-1 for Dan's Girl, but that is a reserve, so bear that in mind. Cappadocia is 8-1. 17-2 for Happy Anniversary. 9-1 for Valley Queen, and 10-1 or bigger prices the rest. Havelock Ellis, Andy, must be the unluckiest horse in training when it comes to the draw. He's been drawn 14 at Dundalk, he's lost twice, managed to win one of them and finished a decent second last time. In stall 13 today, so it's not getting much better, but we'll start with a favourite. What do you make of this race?
I know what you mean. I know exactly where you're coming from. Yeah, we know traditionally stall 13 and 14 at Dundalk in mile 7 furlong races is a bad draw, but actually this is a really good draw for this horse. If this was drawn in stall 1, I'd actually be more put off than I would this horse being drawn in 13 or on the wing, because I'll give you the reasons why. Because I think he's better when he's finishing strongly down the middle of the track. When he won here on the 7th of September and he posted an absolute fantastic figure, Fergal Lynch was at pains to keep him away for the other horses. Whether he's just one of those horses that needs a bit of space, he's a bit claustrophobic, I mean, he wears the cheek pieces, so I think connections have worked him out, and I think Johnny Levens will be absolutely delighted he's drawn stall 13, because it gives Fergal Lynch the ideal opportunity just to take a little pull as they come out the gate, drop him in behind, keep him at the rear of the field, but keep him wide of all the horses, and then slingshot him into the home straight, bring him up the near side, down the middle of the track, and he needs to get into top gear, this horse. He needs that long straight for him to gain his momentum. You can see him working through the gears as he goes down the straight, gear 2, 3, 4, 5, and then all the way stretching out towards the line. The time when he won, they went a really good gallop and obviously played into his strengths, and he finished strong. He came home in 35 and change. They absolutely dawdled the next day, and that's the only reason he got beat. If they would have gone quick, he would have won, because the horse that won basically got first run on him off a slow gallop and quickened away from him, and he didn't have a chance to reel him in. But having gone through the 3 furlong pole with only one horse behind him, he ran the last 3 furlongs in 34.3. So this horse has got a huge, huge finish on him. And that finish should be good enough to run down this lot. This is a really bad race. I don't think this race is as strong as that one he contested, or indeed he contested it when he won on the 7th of September. Bold Henmy looks the only possible danger, having run well in a race that was won by Hillary. He's also got not quite similar speed figures, but speed figures enough to sort of give the favourite plenty to think about. But I do think this is the best bet on the card, Havelock Ellis. Like I say, don't panic if you back this horse and he's last early on. A lot of you you'll be looking at the TV screen thinking this can't possibly win, but rest assured this horse will come home quicker than anything else down the lane, and if he brings him wide, then hopefully that should be the key tactic to him winning again.
Okay, strongest bet on the card then, Havelock Ellis in the 8-10. The 8.40 is the penultimate race this evening. This is an apprentice handicap over the extended mile and a quarter. It's for 3-year-olds and older that are rated 55-70, and Gunshoot heads the betting at 7-2. The second favourite is the Patrick Flynn trained horse Brogue Diaz Newer. I don't think that's a correct pronunciation, but that's what I'm going with. 11-2 into 9-2 for that one anyway. 5-1 for Anna Queen. Master Melody is 6-1. 7-1 for Broadway Musical. Loge is 10-1, and then 12s or bigger for the others. What do you make of this, Andy, the penultimate race this evening?
Yeah, quite a few favourites running here, none more so than Master Melody, that horse who did us a service here 7 days ago, and many podcasters expect me automatically to go for Kevin Prendergast, 6-year-old, just out of sheer loyalty, but sentiment doesn't get you very far in this game, and you have to just take each race on its merits. I thought he was really good to win here last week, but everything panned out perfectly. He was drawn in stall 1, they went a good gallop, and he got the clear run up the inside. Now he's drawn 13 today. He's back to a mile and a quarter. And, you know, considering we backed him at 7-1, 6-1 last week, there's no need to back him again. We've got our money out of Master Melody. So I'm going to be looking elsewhere for my selection here in this race this week. I certainly think Brogue Dignias, or Nua, sorry, is a horse definitely going to win sooner rather than later. He's improving as each race goes on. And that run behind Shadagan last time at Roscommon was a good one on the figures. So I did keep an eye on that horse. But my automatic selection here is Gunshoot. And if you can get an each-way price about this horse this morning, I don't think he'd be too far away. He's around about 4-1, 9-2 with most firms this morning. And I think Patrick Martin's mare is sure to go well again here at Dundalk. He absolutely adores it here. All the best runs here at this track. this is her ideal distance. And she finished in front of Master Melody, albeit fortuitously, on her last start. And it was that race that was won by Hallareth in a very fast time. I keep banging on about that race, but that was the quickest by far. It was much quicker than the race on the same card won by a horse with no name. Anna Queen was third, Broadway Musical was fourth, and Canal Aneto was back in sixth. Those three horses cannot possibly finish in front of Gunshoot. I got Gunshoot running 2:01.9 for the circuit, and I got Anna Queen running 2:03.9. So you're probably looking at about 8 to 10 lengths difference between the two races. So Gunshoot should beat Anna Queen, and I only think DS Newer is the only one to beat. So that's why I'm really strong about this horse each way. Like I say, if you can get a fair price, round about the 4-1 mark, hopefully you get a good return, a good run for your money for Gunshoot.
Okay, Gunshoot each way then in the penultimate race. And the final race this evening is the 9:10. We finish with a handicap for three-year-olds and older rated 60 to 85. It's over a mile and a half. And we have 92 joint favourites this morning, Waver and Unrequited, although there has been a nibble on Unrequited from 5-1 into 92. 11-2 for Mr. Rock. Shadigan is sixes. 8-1 for Wither Hills. Catchy Lass is 8-1 as well, as is Fanzine, but that's a reserve. And then 10-1 or bigger prices for the others. Similar story, quite an open race here to finish with. What do you like in the 9:10?
Yeah, this is a really open race, as you say. This is the best race in the card, plain and simply. It's going to be 5-1 the field, and you can give 6 or 7 a chance here, and I'm not getting too carried away by suggesting that. Waver obviously landed a touch of the podcasters here on the 26th of September, beating Catchy Lass. That's a consideration. You've got Unrequented, a lightly raced three-year-old trained by the master of Dundalk, Ger Lyons. You've got Mr. Rock, who's just had the three runs, looked really impressive down in Wexford last day. Shadigan, of course, recorded a quick time on its last start. And the likes of Carried and Cameron O'Flyer and He's Our Music have all got decent figures attached to their name here at this track. So it wouldn't surprise me whatever won out of that lot I've just mentioned. I think the safety net bet is to go with Catchy Lass. I think when you're looking at these races, you think, well, what's likely to run its race? What's the most consistent horse in the field, which keeps pounding out figures on a regular basis here at Dundalk? And it's definitely Anthony Mullins at 5-year-old mare. You look at the last 8 runs here at Dundalk. I'll read them out to you. Second, fourth, first, second, second, third, third, fourth. That's all you need to know, really, when you're backing a horse each way here at Dundalk. And I thought she was a bit unlucky here last time out, behind the aforementioned Waver. She was obviously dropped out the back door from stall 14. Gary Phillips had very little option but to do that and give her every chance. She was last with 3 furlongs to run, but she's absolutely flew home to record a finishing split of 34.6 from the 3-fold, which is in keeping with sort of 6-furlong, 5-furlong sprinters. So she obviously comes home well off a strong pace, and hopefully if she's just a little bit further up the field this time from stall 10, she might have a chance of certainly running this lot down, and I'm hopeful at the very worst she's going to be in the frame. So Catchy Lass, despite the real complexic nature of that final race, gets the each-way vote.
Each way selection to finish with there then. In the 9:10, let's just have a quick summary of your selections, Andy, if you'll spin us through them one more time.
Yeah, just a few bets on the card there tonight. A real strong bet in the 8:10, and then just fiddle away through with a few others. General Martian would just get the vote in the first race over Black Brian, what could turn out to be a tactical battle. Mansuri looks the absolute each way certainty of the night. I can't see that being out the frame. That's got to go in every double, each way double and treble you put on throughout the day. But Kamikaze looks the obvious threat. I'll go with Lady Mandeville in the 6:40, but do keep an eye on Americos and Rest Assured. In the 7:10, Bertie LeBall's probably just set the standard, which is, should be good enough to win that listed race. The 7:40, the return of Moantra is one of the eagerly awaited returns of the night, and I'm hopeful that she comes back to her best. The best bet on the card by a mile is Havelock Ellis in the 8:10. Hopefully a last-to-first swoop we'll see Johnny Lemons's mare dive bomb them in the latter stages. I'm going to go with Gunshoot in the 8:40, and in the last race, then Catchy Lass receives the vote. By the way, if you can hear something squeaking in the background, it's my dog.
Yeah. Thanks for clearing that up.
Clear that up, yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff, Andy. Thank you very much.
Not my chair gone absolutely mad. I'm like in a nervous disposition as I'm talking to you.
Yeah. I just thought you were so excited about Dundalk. That's
squeaking and screaming with anticipation. That's my dog with a toy in its mouth. It's the only way I could got a control in it.
Yeah. All right, well, hopefully you both enjoyed Dundalk tonight, Andy. Good luck and, enjoy.
Thanks, mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.